So now we are covering chapter number 7, which is titled as Performance Appraisal. Performance appraisal, the moment we utter this term, what comes to your mind? That scary day when you sit with the boss, your supervisor, your HOD. And on that day, he is going to make you feel uncomfortable for things which have not happened. This is a general perception about performance appraisal. People feel, an average employee feels that performance appraisal is a scary day on which anything can happen. It has been misused. Performance appraisal has been misused by many, many people. With the result that performance appraisal has been seen as a reward punishment mechanism. Many people feel, many organizations also, they use performance appraisal for increments and for punishing or rewarding people, which is not totally correct. So in this chapter, we are going to be covering what is performance appraisal, the various methods of performance appraisal, how it is done by many, in many scenarios, all this we'll try to explore. So let's try to understand the objective of the session. The objective will be covering what is performance appraisal, the importance of performance appraisal, how performance appraisal is conducted in an organization, the steps, the procedures, the process, different methods of performance appraisal, and problems faced in performance appraisal. These are the things we are going to be covering as comprehensively as possible. The structure of the session will be close to what we have said earlier. The nature of performance appraisal will be discussed, the importance of performance appraisal, the process of performance appraisal, annual performance appraisal cycle, current methods of performance appraisal, and what is the future scenario, problems faced in performance appraisal, related reading, and as usual, we'll have a sum up or a summary. This is how the flow is going to be in this module. Now, what is performance appraisal? Performance appraisal is an objective assessment. Underline the word objective. It is not subjective, it is objective. Between A and B, A may have some subjective views about B. B is not a cooperative worker. B loses his temper very often. B is a very a person who is very sly. He doesn't reveal information to people. You know, all sorts of personal attributes we have with each other, about each other. That is subjective. Now, in performance appraisal, unfortunately, most people, we are human beings. As human beings, what happens? Our personal attributes about the other person comes out while we are talking. Very few people stick on to the objective of the performance appraisal. Very few. Somewhere the subjectivity will come and they will justify the subjectivity with some issue, saying that this behavior of yours you should change because of this reason. So long as it is subjective, it is objective centric, it's perfect. Now that can be known only in a scenario. One cannot say that this person is subjective or objective. One can feel it when the discussions are going on and the relationship which we have had with the appraiser. The person who is conducting the performance appraisal is called as an appraiser. The person who is being appraised is called as an appraisee. So it is only when both these people sit for they know each other, then and only then they'll come to know whether this person is subjective or objective. In many scenarios, subjectivity is playing a major role, unfortunately. So performance appraisal has got a bad name. They say that everything is already decided. It is a ritual. People come there and they are already going to punish me, and so they do this thing. This is the popular belief. But let us explore it objectively. Performance appraisal is an objective assessment of the individual's performance against well-defined benchmarks. You are given some targets to achieve, some KRAs. Now those targets which you are achieving, the KRAs you are achieving, is it always exact? Suppose you are given a target of say 500 units to be achieved. Do you always achieve 500? Due to various reasons, even with the best of planning, best of intentions, the 500 can be lower or it can cross 500. Very rarely 500 will be 500. So that becomes your benchmark, the standard or the reference point. Now with reference to the reference point, we are checking what is your performance. And in the performance, there is usually a negative gap or a positive gap. Negative gap means what? If it's 500, your benchmark, then you may be achieving 450 or maybe 400. That's a negative gap. Or it is possible that you may be overachieving 500 plus 100 or 500 plus 50, 550 or 600. Now, at this point of time, while I'm discussing this, let me share something with you. It is popularly believed that we have to only correct negative, not positive. If I am giving a target of 500 and I am achieving 600, next time I give a target of say 1000 and I achieve 1200, I keep on overachieving. It speaks of two things. One is I am super efficient, or it speaks of another context which people do not look into. I'm giving my projections quite lower than what I can do. Or third thing, I am utilizing the resources in a very stretched manner, somewhere undercutting, somewhere calling on quality and achieving the target which is above the standard or the benchmark given to me. I have noticed managements normally ignore overachievement. They don't ask questions how overachievement has come. They are happy because the top line is taken care of and the bottom line is taken care of. Now, when we talk about performance appraisal, it's a form of a control system. We have learned controlling in principles of management subject, the last process in principles of management. Now, in this controlling, what are we doing? We are setting a benchmark. The performance takes place. Then we, after the performance takes place, we see the results. The results are analyzed for plus or minus. Now, if there's a plus or a minus, we need to understand why the plus has happened or why the minus has happened. Now, either way, we have to take corrective action. The point I am stressing right now is, friends, normally we find organizations addressing negative gaps, not positive gaps. That is incorrect. A super performer is glorified, and history has it that these super performers who are glorified have done it at a cost. It could be the cost of the ethical working of the company. It could be at the cost of some resources. It could be at the cost of some integrity. It could be at some other cost. So in other words, after all, these benchmarks are given well defined. They have to be well defined. So when the benchmarks are well defined and the benchmarks are calculated based on many factors which are achievable, then there should be no reason why a person is consistently overperforming above the benchmark and he's going away scot-free. What he should do is, he should raise his own benchmark. If he is capable of making 1500, let him give a 1500 benchmark. This is not done in many scenarios. The point is, whatever be the variance, whatever be the gap, plus or minus, both have to be addressed. Having said that, let me take it further. An employee is assessed on several factors like the job knowledge. Does he know the job well? Quality of the job output, the quantity of the output, the type of personal initiatives he takes, the motivation, the leadership qualities he has. Several qualities are assessed depending upon the position and the cruciality of the job. Right? The process consists of appraising employees, providing feedback and offering rewards to employees. The feedback is given to you. How well you're doing it? What are the scope for correction? How can you come back to the benchmark? What are the measures you need to take? A certain personal feedback to you also about how you can improve your behavior. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to improve your performance. Performance is attached to behavior, so naturally behavior will come into picture. But many a time, behavior is focused and the behavior is rewarded or punished. If I am being very goody-goody with my boss, and even if I don't perform, the boss will just give me a positive approval for the, in the performance appraisal, which is a little incorrect. Not little incorrect, it's quite incorrect. Behaviors give performance. I am assessing performance. I am appraising performance, not behaviors. Since performance are coming from behavior, while I am talking about performance, if it is not happening, I've got to tell him, look, this performance can be enhanced if you slightly change your behavior. The objectivity is with the performance, not with the behavior. But many bosses, they take the behavior only and sometimes they even ignore the performance. Or they'll talk about performance and the behavior is seen larger than the performance. That becomes subjective. Be aware of it. Okay? And rewards to the employees. Rewards in the form of appreciation in terms of, you know, incentives, increments, etc. Strictly speaking, I do not subscribe to this last part, because the purpose of performance appraisal is to understand how well the job has been done. Rewards is totally different. Rewards may be in terms of, say, rewards which is to do with additional output given by you. Productivity linked incentives. Those rewards are okay. But increment, which we talk about, normally in many organizations, after performance appraisal, increments are announced, which is incorrect, because increment is an entitlement. Companies do not want to accept this. Increment is an entitlement, which means an increment, what is the purpose of an increment? An increment is given to ensure that the person's standard of living doesn't go down with the cost going up. So increment is an entitlement. It cannot be linked with one's performance or non-performance. Yes, rewards, which we talk about here, that can be linked. Okay, earlier only past performance was assessed. These days, companies focus on their future potential performance as well. Conventionally, performance appraisal used to be, you did this last year, you did this last to last year, you did this last to last to last year. So the trend is seen. And then they say, since you did all these things, now we need to do so much. So it was past and the present. Today we are also talking about what is the potential in you to face the future. Do you have the skills? Do I need to send you for training and development? So these things are a matter of concern today, because today's performance appraisal decides whether you need to have additional skills or not. And it also makes way for you to go for a training and development program if necessary. This wasn't the case earlier. Okay? Taking it further, organizations utilize performance appraisal for promotions, to identify training and development, which I already said now, for confirmation on completion of probation, to grant pay rise, and to improve communications between employer and supervisor. Whenever there is a change happening, a change could be in the form of a promotion, in the form of training and development for the purpose of handling a new assignment, for confirmation for an employee who's just taken in, who's still under probation, to grant a pay rise. So many of these things are the changes that we go through in an organization. During these changes, there is a certain appraisal that takes place. The appraisal could be structured, it could be unstructured, or a combination of both. At the end of it, it has to go in a formal format. It's very important, right? Employees benefit from appraisals as they know how they stand compared to the colleagues, department, and organization. They also use it to increase their base. Their base, which is not given here in the slide. Okay, what do? Performance appraisal is very useful for me as an individual. It tells me what are the things I need to improve about myself. I need to take performance appraisal in a very broad, open mind. Otherwise, it can backfire. I'll start sulking if things don't work. So there are people who don't like to be told that they couldn't perform and the behavior came in the way. They feel bad about it. But I must take it open. So when I do that, it helps me to grow. Employees benefit from appraisals as they know how they stand compared to their colleagues, department, and organization. Okay, I think that's a repetition. Let's take the next one. Now let's understand the process of performance appraisal. Let's understand the process of performance appraisal. In a performance appraisal, we first have an objective of the appraisal. We must know why we are appraising. What's the end goal? Am I appraising him for the additional work which I have given him, whether he has done it well or not? Am I appraising for a new project he is handled, he took up? Am I appraising for routine monthly performance, quarterly performance, annual performance? Am I appraising him for some sort of a behavioral change which he was supposed to train somebody on? So people can be appraised for various end objectives. See, we all know the only one performance appraisal, which is to do with job performance appraisal every quarter, every half year, and every year. This is the only appraisal people are familiar with. But appraisals take place for various objectives, like I told you now. Now be aware of it, that appraisal is required for every goal that we are setting, so that the objectives and the goals are properly achieved. What is performance appraisal after all? It's a timely intervention to know whether the skills are there, whether the goal is on the path, and it's just a timeline to take you towards the goal. That's all it is. Okay? So objective has to be clear. Once the objective is clear, then we establish a job expectation. Now this is a very tricky word, expectation. Expectations are normally not articulated in writing. They will say a few lines. It is expected that, you know, you do this job diligently, that you take care of the customers on time, you must be available 24/7 for the customers. These may be given there. But expectations are usually not written. Samajhne wale ko ishara kaafi bhi se na. So expectations are based on that. There are certain signals you get while you're working. And those signals are something certain people do not capture. Expectations are something that a person expects from you but doesn't articulate. So we must establish the job expectations, and we must go to the point of actually telling them that this is me, this is the way I work, I would expect you to work this way. Bosses don't do this. If you are able to articulate and tell them, look, I'm an early morning person. I come before time. The company opens at 9:30. I come at 9 o'clock. And if I tell my boys that I come at 9 o'clock, I would be happy if you people come at 9 o'clock. So before 9:30, we can actually get ready for starting the office. That is the way I operate. That is my expectation, which I normally do not articulate. But if I articulate, my boys realize that sir wants this, so they'll come on time. They'll come before time. Now, many a time, people are expecting expectations to be understood. And this is also sometimes done deliberately. It's a power game. If you are working under me, you're supposed to know me. I'm not going to tell you. I'll do anything I like. You have to catch my actions. You have to know what I'm expecting. Now, when I get signals from you, and I think that this is what you're expecting, what do? I'm assuming. Assumptions can create all different types of funny behavior. So, establish a job expectation very clearly. In this job, it is expected that you do this, 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 this. Written expectations are already given. You must also give the expectations which are unwritten in terms of our behavioral congruence, how we get along with each other. That's important. At the end of it, people do their jobs, but then there is a behavioral issue which people have. That creates a lot of problems during appraisal. So put the expectation very clearly. Then we come to design the appraisal program. How are we going to make the appraisal happen? In what format we are going to do? We are discussing it down this line in the slides. Appraise the performance. Sit down and appraise the performance. There is a method of doing it. And then finally, store the appraisal data. That means, have the data with you and use it for the purpose for which it is supposed to be meant. Having done that, for that one single employee, whatever information I'm getting from the stored data, I need to use it for future objective of appraisal to be understood. So it's a cyclical process. And in this cyclical process, as we keep on doing it, it refines and refines and refines. And when it refines, we arrive at a situation where you find that the objective of the appraisal becomes clearer and clearer with respect to the individual with whom we are appraising. Now this is a very important maturity level that the appraisal process has to reach. A time comes when the employee need not be told. He knows that these are my duties. He thinks objective, the senior thinks objective, and things happen. So that is a type of, but this should happen in a culture which is supportive of the people. If a culture is little, it's showing some sort of a partiality towards some people, or it's a culture that doesn't walk the talk, then there's an issue. Then appraisals don't become transparent. People don't trust it anymore. Okay. Very good brands, good organizations have got appraisal system which are pretty good, and they give the confidence to the employee about the reward and the punishment or whatever happens after the appraisal. They feel, yes, this is a very fair and square type of an appraisal that has happened. In most cases, people feel let down after an appraisal process because of various factors contributed by the company's culture and also by the people who are not understanding the objective of an appraisal. Okay? Taking it further, the objective of the appraisal, HR has to decide objectives of appraisal in advance. They could be to lay off or improve poor performers. Some of you must have gone through this. In BPOs, IT companies, the appraisal is done to warn the employee that he is below par. We've got the popular bell curve. All of you know about it. The notorious bell curve, like some of my students were talking about it. And in that bell curve, the person is somewhere at the lower rung. And then he is given a feedback. Appraisal is done to tell him that if you don't perform, out you go. Or it could be to effect promotions or transfers, or to assess training needs or pay increases. Those could be the objectives. To establish job expectations, HR should ensure that employee has been informed about what is expected from him on the job. Usually these expectations are laid down in job description. There should be alignment in its understanding between employee and supervisors. I have gone a little further in explaining this to you. Expectations are written as well as unwritten. Both of them, if they are articulated, it's a great thing to happen. You must be a willing communicator as an appraiser, as a senior, as a supervisor, and tell your boys that this is what I'm expecting from you. This is my nature. This is the way I operate. I would be comfortable if you operate like this with me. And these are the things which you can do. This is also called as a psychological contract you sign. Okay. So, taking it further, design appraisal program. To prepare the program, HR has to decide whose performance is to be appraised. The person whom we are appraising. Who will rate him? Rating, who does the appraisal? Now, appraisals are usually done by the senior, the immediate senior, the supervisor. But there are instances where in certain types of functions, the appraisal is done by some third party. That can become very tough. If the third party does not know the frame of reference, he doesn't know you, there is a likelihood that the appraisal may go a little haywire. Third party appraisal is very common in many organizations. Okay, in some scenarios, the third party is sitting, your supervisor is also sitting, and there's an appraisal that takes place. The supervisor may act as a moderator, and the third party will take the appraisal. This can happen in some cases also, right? What are the parameters for appraisal? What are the various factors I need to consider for appraisal? Okay, his past performance, his behavior, his potential for growing, his attitude towards people, his attitude towards the organization. Does he treat internal customers well? These factors are all taken into account. When will the appraisal take place? The time frame, the timeline. What will be the methods adopted? Which method are we going to be adopting? Which technique? Usually employees are assessed on quality and quantity of their output. Timeliness of output, job knowledge, leadership abilities, versatility and team spirit. Practically everything is covered by this author, right? In short, he is overall appraised. He is overall appraised. Okay? Now we appraise the performance. It is a responsibility of the HR to ensure that all deserving employees are appraised. I don't know why the word deserving is there. I think all employees should be appraised. Everybody deserves an appraisal, definitely. If I am working for the company, I have contributed, I deserve a fair and square appraisal. Why not? Okay. It is a responsibility of the HR to ensure that all employees are appraised, usually by supervisors, as I told you, in a timely manner, and appraisals are conducted and completed in a specified time period. Point number 5, archiving or storing appraisal data. Appraisal data needs to be stored as decisions on pay hikes, promotions, training, assessment, confirmation of employees on probation are based on the appraisal records. Every one of us have got a confidential record, CR. When we join a company, we have a file made for us. And this file has got our employee number, photograph, etc., etc. It's a history of the employee in the company. So after every appraisal, in that history it is filed in. Now, we have a system called HRIS. Many of you must be knowing about it. Human Resources Information System. There's a separate subject in semester 3 for the distance learning students. Okay. Now, in this HRIS, it is done automatically. It is online. So, the moment the performance appraisal takes place, the storing of your personal data of performance is given into your own file, your personal file, which is a part of the HR department's files. Right. Now, it is stored there because your boss will leave you, he may get promoted, somebody else will come. So he has to know your background. So it is there for him for ready reference. It's a record basically, right? The annual performance appraisal cycle. Annual performance appraisal in cycle involves 4 steps. First is self-appraisal. You are given an appraisal form and you need to fill up the form and be honest about what you did, what you did not do, and put it down there. The employee himself provides feedback on his performance, normally by completing self-appraisal form prepared by the HR. The form requires employee to rate him on several parameters and list his accomplishments, goals met, failures, training needs and expected career growth, etc. This can be a stressful exercise for many of you. When the appraisal form is given to you, it takes some time, days, weeks for you to fill up. Some companies, they give the appraisal form 2 months in advance, 1 month in advance. Some people give you 1 week before. Depending upon the time, there are people I know, they take a day off just to fill up appraisal form because they want to be sure what they have to write there. Because whatever you are writing is what your appraiser is going to ask you questions on. So the starting point is self-appraisal. So next we take preparation of performance review. After the self-appraisal is over, the performance review, we prepare for it. The review meeting between the appraiser and the employee should be structured but semi-formal, which means the person has to be objective on the issue. At the same time, it can't be too matter-of-factly. You can't be too informal, at the same time you can't be too formal. There has to be a push-pull situation. Wherein the person is made to feel comfortable, he should not feel as if he is sitting like a criminal in the court of law. This is a thing that happens in some cases. Right? At the same time, it should not be so casual. There should be a push-pull type of a behavior. The appraiser has to prepare the review by fixing and informing time and place for review, studying employees' job description, goals, collecting evidences of performance through monthly, quarterly reports, etc. Just as the appraisee makes his own self-appraisal after giving a form, he fills up a form. The appraiser on this side also has to do his homework about this employee. So he must be armed with his information. This fellow comes with his self-appraisal and then they sit together. Employee should be ready with his self-appraisal that has achievements in quantifiable measures wherever possible. Third point is performance review. The review actually takes place and the review meeting is regarded as a conversation with a purpose. This purpose is to reach mutually agreed conclusions about the development of the individual and his performance and, if applicable, any areas and means for improvement. The meeting is used to motivate employees to perform better in future and to reinforce current desirable behavior. So he is given a feedback and he is told that these are the areas where you have done well, we would like you to do better. These are the areas where we found that you could have done better, you need to improve. So this feedback is given to you. The completion of the performance review form. The review form provides a basis for the review, feedback to the employee and the final rating by the appraiser. The form must be completed with utmost care and objectivity as it is used for decisions on employee's career development. The form should be approved or signed off by the employee as well as the immediate supervisor so that there is no scope for ambiguity in the future. Both of them sign it together and the completion of the performance review takes place.